Why, hello there. It's the Rich Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, Peter Carlin from the Oregonians is going to be here to talk about all things television-oriented and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions. All to the top five as well. I got this list of random observations from the supermarket last night. Also, news that hurts and so forth. In a moment, we return to Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Let me read Rick. And Anna Nicole sure was classy. Too bad the former Portland chief of police never wrote her any emails. Or perhaps he did. Rick, this email says, did you hear the news that there were 7 life insurance policies on Anna Nicole Smith? Really? Someone's going to be collecting a fair bit of coin. It's funny how that story has just fallen out of the news cycle, though. What is it? Has it been replaced with anything? I mean, is there anything, has something taken the place of Anna Nicole Smith, or have we all just, is it like a cumulative fatigue that we've all just suddenly registered with her? Let's see here. What else do we have? Boston Rick. Did you know that Boston released a record in 2002? No? No, I didn't, sir. No, I didn't, and nobody did. Boston is one of those bands that kept releasing new material, even though they didn't really, I mean, which is sort of admirable, because they didn't really have to. Because when you have, it's like Alanis Morissette or Guns N' Roses or something, you know, you just tour on that first album forever and ever and ever and ever. It doesn't matter. You continue to sell at 10,000-seat arenas over and over again just because of your debut album. So it wasn't really necessary for them to continue churning out new material, so it's sort of admirable that they did, I guess. It's 503-733-2970. Tim, did you send me, is this from you, this guy? It must be. It says, hey, Tim. I don't know how this got into my pile of stuff. Tim, I am writing you about an interesting and controversial guest for the Rick Emerson Show. You remember getting this?
Yes.
Apparently, they want me to talk to Wayne Levine. He's available for an in-studio interview on April 2nd. What do you suppose the most embarrassing book title of the year could possibly be? What do you suppose, if you were a guy named Wayne Levine, and you wanted to talk about a number of relationship issues from the male perspective, what do you suppose is the worst, most awkward, most cringe-inducing title for a book you could possibly imagine? And I want to say right now, this is not a gag, I'm not making this up. This is a guest pitch from some PR firm. Tim, I am writing to you about an intro. How did you get on this guy's mailing list is the question.
I'm on everyone's mailing list.
That's the curse of being in the news department.
I delete most of
every day. I get every day just, you don't even know my voicemail is even worse, man. It's people calling and just pitching me just the worst, most tedious. Would you like to have an exciting guest to come on and talk about free radicals and antioxidants? Also, the exciting health benefits of glucosamine and chondroitin is no. No, I wouldn't. Nobody would. Which begs the question, who is booking those people? Somebody somewhere, there must be some radio host that is booking the guest to come on and talk about glucosamine and chondroitin. I don't even know what those are. Why do I know how to pronounce those words? I don't even know what those are. Glucosamine and chondroitin are two words. I don't know how to spell them. I don't know what they do. I don't know what they're from. Those could be science fiction chemicals for all I know. Yet I know how to pronounce them for some reason that is unbeknownst to me. Anyway, this email says, hey, Tim, I'm writing to you about an interesting and controversial guest for the Rick Emerson Show. Wayne Levine is available for an in-studio interview on April 2nd. He can discuss his new... I can't even read it with a straight face. He can discuss his new book, Hold On to Your Nuts.
For real?
Sarah, don't interrupt the press release.
Okay.
Hold On to Your Nuts. In which she talks about a number of relationship issues, including why men must take charge of the romance department, how the male psyche actually works and how to work with it, blah, blah, blah. How to win with the women in your lives. Oh, apparently nuts is a clever acronym. What would you...
I don't understand. What was the name of the book again?
Hold On to Your Nuts.
And how's that in...
I hate radio. I hate radio. I hate everything about it. I hate everybody who works in it. I hate everything about radio. I hate everybody who's not in this room who works in radio. Apparently, nuts is an acronym, Sarah. What do you think it stands for?
Oh, God. I'm not even going to play this reindeer game.
NUTS stands for... This is the dumbest acronym ever.
Is you understanding?
No, it's...
Uterus?
No. How would you stand for uterus? It does not stand for uterus. U stands for... He's written unlaterable, but I think he means unalterable.
So sad.
NUTS apparently stands for non-negotiable, unalterable terms. Wayne, it says here, is a dynamic personality and would be great in studio. What do you think? Thanks, Matt. All right. No. No, that's what I think. I think no, and I think this is a terrible email. We're never going to discuss his book, Hold On To Your NUTS. That's something that's not going to happen. All right. 503-733-2970.
That's something for Good Morning America.
That's something for Lacey Turner in the Public Affairs Department. Lacey, I've got something for Sunday morning. Right between the program about fire prevention and the program about like a proper disposal of computer batteries. It's called Hold On To Your NUTS. Oh, it's so tempting to have her come in here. It's so, Lacey is our PSA director, our public affairs director. So when you hear things that are clearly like public service announcements, you know, like don't get liquored up and drive your kids around like Washington in a boat or something, or you know what, like don't set fire to people and you know whatever. It really is tempting to bring her in, pitch for this as a Sunday morning. Lacey, I know that as part of our public service convenience and necessity is mandated by the FCC. We have to serve the public interest. Would you be interested? She's right there, Lacey. Would you like to come in? Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Public Affairs Director Lacey Turner.
I am the conscience.
Hi, how are you, Lacey? Lacey, yeah, just this microphone right here. You're wearing tie-dye, which I think tells... You're wearing tie-dye and John Lennon glasses, which tells the audience all they need to know about you.
Then I'm old.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to say... I wasn't going to say that. I'm simply going to say that I believe there is a certain... perhaps a certain mindset or worldview that is conveyed by Lennon glasses and tie-dye. Would you be interested in booking the author of Hold On To Your NUTS?
Hold On To Your what?
It's an exciting...
Can I hope this is an acronym?
I've thrown the press release.
It sure is.
It is a press release, Lacey. Hold on. Let me fish it out of the trash. Don't go anywhere. Hold on. It's an exciting press release that I threw away.
I hope you hear from a lot of listeners who also wear John Lennon glasses and wear tie-dye. And yeah. I hope they all complain.
They're all listening to Kink.
All right.
See, all right. This is... Hold on, let me smooth this out.
Man, you did a number on that.
Tim received this. Hey, Tim, I am writing you about an interesting and controversial guest for the Rick Emerson Show. Wayne Levine is available for an in-studio interview on April 2nd. He can discuss his new book.
Yes?
Hold On To Your NUTS. In which he talks about a number of relationship issues, including why men must take charge of the romance department, how the male psyche actually works, and how to work with it, not against it, and how to win with the women in your life, Lacey.
You know what?
NUTS.
This really sounds more like an Oprah thing.
Now listen to me now. NUTS is an acronym. NUTS stand... This is so badly written. This is perhaps the worst written letter. The formatting is all wrong here. His bullet pointing is all incorrect. He's misspelling everything.
What does it stand for?
It says NUTS stand. I think he means stands. NUTS stand. Me talk pretty one day. NUTS stand for non-negotiable, he's written unlaterable, but I'm pretty sure he means unalterable. Non-negotiable, unlaterable terms. Wayne apparently, Lacey, is a dynamic personality and would be great in studio as he discusses his book, Hold On To Your NUTS.
You know, this really sounds more like your kind of thing.
I will give you $100 right now out of my pocket if you interview the Hold On To Your NUTS guy.
You know, I really, you know, the whole problem with that is the I don't think the FCC would really enjoy seeing that on one of our reports.
That is not true. This 50% of our...
Not only is it the law, but it gives me a really good out when I get letters like that.
This is an acronym, Lacey.
Yes.
NUTS.
We don't do programs on acronyms.
Why do you got to be so narrow-minded?
Yeah. Well, no, we handle a lot. You know, we handle drug abuse and Oregon's economy and school funding. No. And, you know, we leave Anna Nicole and Brittany to
it's
you.
It's time to think outside the box, Lacey.
I'm going outside the box.
All right. Try to help.
Okay.
I'll have the nut letter right here if you want it.
Okay.
Okay.
The nut letter?
It's a non-negotiable, unlaterable terms. All right, fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, let us revisit the Ministry of Truth with your personal savior, shall we?
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Lacey is a stun gun on an out-of-control woman. Apparently, they were called to a home in the 4400 block of Northeast 76th Avenue. They had a report of a violent person suffering some type of diabetic episode. But shortly after police entered the home, police said this woman named Brandy Hess. That's Brandy with an I.
I'm sorry, where was this at?
This happened in Portland, Northeast.
Portland here, and they had to taser somebody?
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Her name was Brandy?
Brandy Hess.
Excellent. So much the better.
Now, she allegedly punched the police officer without provocation. Now, that's the police department story. As the officer and firefighters began struggling with this 5'2", 140-pound woman, she kicked the officer several times in the stomach and the groin and punched the firefighter at least twice, allegedly. So to stop the fight, police said the officer used a stun gun, which caused the woman to stop fighting so she could receive some medical help.
I'm unclear. I don't... Okay, why were the cops there?
The roommate called and said there is a violent person suffering from some type of diabetic episode.
A diabetic episode just means, like, if you have diabetes, as I understand it, that just means you can't, you're just laying around, you can't move, right?
Or you're
a little twitchy or something.
I'm not sure.
Normally the groin kicking kind of. Diabetes normally doesn't make you, like, give a foot right to the sack. That's not one of the indications of diabetes, as I am not a doctor.
So Brandy said, I'm sorry if I hurt anyone, but I am not an animal.
She's channeling John Merrick. Okay.
I am not a criminal.
Little elephant man humor there for those who are into such things.
So okay. That's that.
Well, there you go. Well, sounds like she might have had it coming. I don't know that that's the case, but I'm simply saying.
And her father is also a former police officer with 25 years' experience, and he believes Portland police need more training on how to deal with crazy people.
Sounds like they've got it down. It sounds like they've got it down to a science, actually. And they start kicking you in the groin, you give them a tasering. There you go. Problem solved. Policy in place. Public happy. Fantastic.
Halliburton, the energy services giant, whatever they are, says they'll move their Texas-based headquarters to some strip mall in Dubai. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton invoked the campaign of the nation's lone Catholic president, JFK, last night.
Now, is that true? Is he the only Catholic president we've ever had?
Yeah.
Well, usually they're Episcopals.
Is that true? Or yeah. Protestants, I guess? Yeah.
The good old boy club.
It seems
kind of religion light.
Is being Catholic, is being Catholic still a stigma in this country?
I wouldn't think so.
I didn't think it was until I was actually, this sounds really lame, but I was watching Sex and the City and they had this whole episode about Catholic guys. They're like, oh, I didn't know I was dating a Catholic. I didn't think there was anything wrong with that.
Maybe that's because everybody here is a Catholic. But I mean, when I say here, I mean on the show. All three of the people in this room and then most of the people kind of in our circle are Catholic for whatever reason. But I thought that being Catholic was sort of like, that was sort of the default setting for American Christian religion at this point. I mean, certainly, I mean, like, have we had a Baptist president? I'd like to see if somebody can send me some breakout of the religions of our presidents. I would be curious to see that actually. Now, it sounds like a thing that may be dull to other people, but I really honestly would like to know the religion of each of our past presidents. Now the Bushes, they're Episcopalians, or are they Presbyterians? I don't even know the difference now that I think about it. I don't even really know what an Episcopalian is. It's not a thing I really even understand. Well, all right, let's move forward.
So anyway, she said that JFK was smart, he was dynamic, he was inspiring, and he was a Catholic. A lot of people back then, 1960, said America will never have a Catholic as a president. Noting women are the majority of voters and are in the workplace in record numbers, she added. So when people tell me a woman could ever be president, I say, you'll never know unless we try.
I don't feel no way tired. I come too far.
It's just embarrassing. Oh, somebody has sent me the link to the Wayne Levine book on Amazon. The cover is just a huge picture of a squirrel.
Oh, of course
it is. The cover's just a huge picture of a squirrel clutching a nut. Fantastic. I love this country. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Two men hit each other in the head with one hammer. This comes to us from Kissimmee, Florida.
Oh, you just messed it up. That was me.
Two men are in the hospital after whacking each other with hammers. Investigators said the two men were fighting at the Hidden Cove apartment complex, so one of them grabbed a hammer and hit the other on the head. Well, then the other grabbed the hammer back and hit the other man on the head. Both men have been lifted with serious head injuries.
That's fantastic. That's the sort of, you know what it is? That story is just, that's just comedy, like, boiled down. Sometimes you don't need exotic locales or situations or implements.
It would have been good for Richard Jenny.
Sometimes
he lived to put that in his just repertoire.
Two guys just sitting in a room hitting each other in the head with hammers. That's when they're tired of watching Ow My Balls on FX. All right. This is Steve on the Rick Emerson Show. I'm so
Rick.
Hold on a second. Don't talk. I'm so enthralled with these phones that I can actually speak now, and my voice sounds normal. It just makes me want to take phone calls all day long. Hello, Steve.
Hello, Rick. Just real quick, the political stigma of a Catholic president has always been that the president, if he was Catholic, would be ruling from a position of taking his orders from Rome or from the Pope instead of the people. So I don't think that's been really an issue in the last couple of years here. But
yeah, well, that's ridiculous, though, because George Bush is taking his orders from Jesus.
But it's a Protestant Jesus.
That's true. I guess that does make all the difference in the world. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Rick.
All right. That's right. I guess that's true that they thought that Kennedy would be... Kennedy was going to be at the behest of the Holy See, as they used to say. All right, 503-733-2970. We have somebody has sent me now this list of presidents by religion. Oh, this is long. This is long. Reading is hard. I didn't know I was going to have to read stuff. Let's see. Episcopalian, Unitarian, Unitarian, Episcopalian, Episcopalian, Unitarian, Presbyterian. I don't even know... I realize now, as I get like hip deep into this, that I don't even really know anything about religion. I am no theologian. I thought a Unitarian, John Quincy Adams, our sixth president, he's a Unitarian. I thought Unitarians were like a church out of the back of Rolling Stone, where for like $3 you could get a thing and you could marry people.
Yeah, I think it's religion life. There's one of those next to my house. It's a religion for people who don't like church.
But how is
like
it
newspapers? They have swings.
They sell grits and have ice cream socials. So John Quincy Adams was a Unitarian. So it's a Unitarian like is that like that, you know, Universal Church of Christ? All are welcome. Is that what that is?
Yeah, they don't bother anybody.
All right, Presbyterian. Who do Presbyterians follow? Is that a Jesus church?
Presbyterian?
I think it's a Jesus church.
Presbyt. The teachings of Presbyt and all that he taught. Dutch Martin Van Buren. Do you ever start reading lists like this and you realize how stupid you are? Because you really... I don't even really remember a president called Martin Van Buren. Well, apparently we had one. He was the eighth. Dutch Reformed. William Henry Harrison, Episcopalian. Sarah, do you know we had a president named John Tyler? No, of course you don't.
I know all the presidents.
No, you don't.
I do, too.
Do it now.
Washington, Adams, Jefferson, Madison, Monroe, Adams, Jackson, Van Buren, Harrison, Tyler, Polk, Taylor, Fillmore, Pierce, Buchanan, Lincoln, Johnson, Grant, Hayes, Garfield, Arthur, Cleveland, Harrison, Cleveland, McKinley, Roosevelt, Taft, Wilson, Harding, Coolidge, Hoover, Roosevelt, Truman, Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon, Ford, Carter, Reagan, Bush, Clinton, Bush.
That's
in your face.
Jesus, that's just freaky. Why do you know that? Did you learn that
from
in school?
A song I learned in, like, third grade.
That's unnerving is what that is.
It helps me a lot because people, you know, be like, well, you know, who's the 21st president?
And you just count it through in your head?
Mm-hmm.
That's completely unnerving. Lara can do the same thing with the prophets of the Mormon church, by the way. Let's see. John Tyler, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Unitarian. This is just insane. It's all... Now I'm beginning to think it is a conspiracy. It's all just Episcopalians and Presbyterians.
Did you say there has been a Catholic president?
Well, there have been a president, there's Kennedy. There have been presidents with no affiliation. It's all Presbyterian. There's a Methodist. William McKinley was a Methodist. Warren G. Harding was a Baptist, a Quaker, Episcopalian, Baptist. Dwight D. Eisenhower was a Jehovah's Witness? That can't be true. There's no way. Dwight D. Eisenhower, our 34th president, was a Jehovah's Witness. I call shenanigans on that. No, in no way, this country, that he must have been hiding that. That must have been something he kept in the closet. This country will never elect a Jehovah's Witness, not knowingly. Not since, not, we would, this country, and I think I just speak for America as a whole, I am not saying that I am any, in any way biased or prejudiced. I'm simply saying that America will never knowingly elect a Jehovah's Witness as president. That's never going to happen. I call shenanigans on this Dwight D. Eisenhower thing. Kennedy, Catholic. Lyndon Johnson, Pentecostal. Richard Nixon was a Quaker. Gerald Ford, Episcopalian. Jimmy Carter, Baptist. Ronald Reagan, Presbyterian. George Bush, Episcopalian. Clinton, a Baptist. And then George W. Bush, Episcopalian. Well, fair enough. There you go. All right. Well, the knowing is half the battle. Did Jehovah's Witness? There's no way. Let's do one more, and then we'll take a break here.
Oh, I thought you
one more call. Why, hello there.
Well, a citywide scavenger hunt in Laredo, Texas, has turned sour for 40 Texas high school students when police learned of it and arrested them on felony charges. Laredo police accuses students, most of them in their final year of Laredo High School, of stealing up to 5 truckloads of loot from all across town. The scavenger list included traffic signs and piñatas.
Okay. Fantastic. Let's see here. Rick, all right, well, we should take a break here. Because otherwise, I'm just going to get bogged down on these emails that are coming in about diabetics and seizures. 503-733-2970. Take a break. We'll come back. More from the Ministry of Truth, then the top five at 2 o'clock. We'll talk to Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. Like us at 3, Don and Mike at 7. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. Rick Emerson Show at 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. Coming up later on, Peter Carlin for the Oregonian. We'll also talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions, top five and so forth. Like us at 3, Don and Mike at 7. See, now people are sending me a list of things they can recite from memory. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, it is Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A dream comes true. U.S. Airways now has service on the PDX, and you can fly directly nonstop to North Carolina.
Hurrah!
Now, from there, you can connect to other various destinations, such as
Peoria,
Central America,
Akron.
Really?
Okay, that tops any of my jokes. Go right to
it is a fact. So you can fly directly to Charlotte and then go on to Central America.
Fantastic.
So you can get malaria with the rickets.
I don't even know what rickets are.
Well, go down there, you'll find out.
Are rickets like scabies?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
They can fit 12 people in first class if you want to fly to Charlotte at a PDA.
Are there 12 people who want to go to Charlotte at any given time, do you suppose?
Okay. The service begins on May 28th.
Lucky me.
Meanwhile, Israel has recalled its ambassador to El Salvador, which is the Central American Republic.
Why would you bother going to... Well, here's a question. What is the purpose of Israel having an ambassador to El Salvador? Exactly what issues is it that Israel and El Salvador have?
He must have found out the same thing, because he was found naked, bound, and drunk.
I wonder in what order those things
happened. So, Terizriel Rafael has been removed from his post after this got out.
I'm overclamped.
2 weeks ago, El Salvador police found Rafael in the yard of his residence, tied up, gagged with a ball, and drunk. He was wearing sex bondage equipment. After he was untied, he told police he was the ambassador to Israel.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
He has been recalled. Back to Israel. We're talking about behavior and what's unbecoming of a diplomat. He's only been there 6 months.
He's trying to be the diplomat from the Tenderloin District.
He's only been there 6 months.
Okay. Well, it sounds like he's made the most of it, though.
Last year, Israel replaced its ambassador to Australia, Nepomniachtchi Tabor, after he said Israel and Australia are like sisters because both are located in Asia and their peoples don't have the Asian characteristics of yellow skin and slanted eyes. Back in 2005, Israel canceled the appointment of a diplomat to Australia after it was discovered that he published pictures of nude Brazilian girls on the internet while on a mission to Brazil.
They're more of a cocoa color. They're more of a cocoa brown. Okay, there you go. And a ball gag. Fantastic. Well, that, again, the reality just outstrips any of the jokes I was going to make. I don't even understand the... Does every country... I'm asking, just realizing that no one really knows. Does every country have an ambassador to every other country? I mean, like, do we have...
If you want to pay off political favors,
do we have... I want to be the ambassador to the Confederated States of Micronesia. That's what I'm going to start demanding right now. The next time somebody wants to give me any sort of a favor or a perk or a treat, that's what it is. The Confederated States of Micronesia. I wish to be the official ambassador to that place. I don't even know where it is. As I say it now, I realize I might even be making that country up. I'm not even sure it exists.
It's a chain of islands. It does exist.
In London, my friend's, she was super rich, and she had, her father was the ambassador of foreign affairs.
Really?
Where? In London for Slovene. To Czechoslovakia.
Really?
Yeah.
See, do you get anything with that? Well, you can kill people and stuff.
You get running water with that. Nobody else in the country does. And indoor plumbing, that's what you get for that.
You get to get in line. You get to cut to the front of the bread line. Oh, fantastic. All right, well, there you go. Good times. No, if you're an ambassador, couldn't you just...
kill somebody and get away with it?
Yeah, couldn't you just have a trunk full of co-eds and they can't do anything about that? Or am I thinking of being a diplomat? Or is it the same thing?
They're the same thing.
Fantastic. Yeah. I want to do that just so I can commit crimes with abandon. Mm-hmm. All right, there you go. Gagged with a ball.
More and more American couples are ordering separate master bedrooms in their new homes to help ensure a more harmonious marriage. A survey by the National Association of Home Builders has predicted that by the year 2015, 60% of custom-built homes will have two master bedrooms.
Okay, go ahead.
Apparently, separate bedrooms are often taken as a sign of a failing relationship, but for many people it appears to be a practical necessity. Snoring, nighttime visits to the bathroom, childcare requirements, and shift working can deprive couples of the recommendation 7 or 8 hours per sleep.
Lie. How can people delude themselves like this? If you are building separate master... Why are you even still married? I hate to go all likeness on you, but why would you even be married? What is the point? And don't tell me that it's financial concerns, because if you have the money to build a separate master bedroom, you have the money to move out and get an apartment somewhere. Seriously, if you haven't already, someone ought to send that story to Tom, because that is a perfect Tom Likas story. I don't understand why you would want separate... I mean, I guess people can say, Snorman, can't they fix that now? If you snore, can't they drill holes in your nose or something?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they do something where they bore something, but they bore a big opening to the front of your skull and then
put you in a coma.
they don't do that. What is that thing? They do something where they hollow out the inside of your nostrils, like with one of those mining things, and then you don't snore anymore or whatever. So, I mean, snoring can be bad, as anybody who's shared a room with Clyde can attest.
I've never shared a room with Clyde.
Oh, don't lie to me.
Why?
Yeah, Clyde lived with you for a while, didn't he?
Clyde lived with me for 6 fun-filled months. The look on Tim's face right now is worth the price of admission alone. Really, the longest 6 months of my life. We had to, and you know I love Clyde, I say, always as a preference, as a preface to saying something hideous about him. I love Clyde, but Clyde...
Imagine Clyde with a stocking cap on his head and his robe, carrying a cookie and milk and a candle in the other hand.
Like the Travelodge bear. With one of those big dressing gowns at night, and the brass candle holder with the little thumb hole that you put your finger through. No, in fact, it was as far apart from that as you can possibly imagine. Picture that cute Travelodge bear with the little stocking cap and the sleeping robe and then the candle and the slippers. Okay, now picture the thing that's the furthest away from that your brain can possibly conjure up, and that's Clyde. Clyde, who... I don't even want to talk about it, but I'm just going to say that when he first moved to Portland, this is like 10 years ago, he moved to Portland, he's like, I'm going to need a place to crash for a couple of weeks. And I guess everybody else at some point, I mean, everybody learns that lesson that when somebody says they need a place to crash for a couple of weeks, that really just means I'm going to live with you until you move. That is a lesson that I had not learned until I lived here. And of course, my wife, who she was at that time my girlfriend, but we hadn't been together at all, and we'd only been together like 6 months. 8 months, maybe, at tops. She didn't know me, all that. Well, I mean, I guess we knew each other, but we hadn't been together for 10 years. We'd been together for less than a year. And, you know, kind of just tossing all advice to the side and already living together whenever. She'd already moved to Portland with me. She'd never met Clyde. Imagine if you'd never met Clyde. Imagine if you were a good Mormon girl. Imagine if you're a good girl from middle America who didn't know nothing about nothing. Imagine if you had never met Clyde, you'd never seen Clyde, you'd never heard Clyde on the radio. And then suddenly Clyde comes, you go from not knowing Clyde to Clyde living with you for 6 months in the space of like a day. Clyde lived with us from, I think, November until, until May, June, something like that. And eventually, we had to move. We just had to move because he was never going to leave. God love him. He liked living there, was never going to move. And so we're like, we just came home, we're like, we've got a new place, and we're leaving in 2 weeks. And says, where am I sleeping? We said, I don't know, Clyde.
I guess, basically.
And he said, you have to figure that out. I love Clyde, but the thing that makes Clyde so great on the air is the same thing that makes Clyde an impossible roommate. That Clyde just has, again, God love him, but he has the attention span of a gnat. I mean, really, just the brain of a goldfish about some things. And when I say that, I just mean that Clyde, and I am the blackest pot to the blackest kettle on this, is that he is very easily distracted. Clyde is very, that term ADD gets thrown around a lot now. And basically, they just use ADD now if your son's a bastard who doesn't want to go to school. What's this? Well, my son's an a-hole. Well, I think he's got ADD. Probably not. Probably, here's some things that people get diagnosed with now that are not really true in most cases. If somebody says they're ADD, they're probably not. They're probably just lazy. If someone says that they have Epstein-Barr, probably not. Probably just lazy or drunk. Drunk, perhaps stoned. If somebody says they have a learning disability, probably not. They probably just cut class all the time. And that's the excuse that they give you for why they're failing Math 101. What else? You know, there's a whole list of things like that. People say, well, I have this ailment, and this is why I can't, this is why I get fired from all my jobs. Clyde, though, probably panic attacks. That's another one. People go, well, I have panic attacks. The panic attacks, I mean, that's just people who don't drink enough. That's what that is. But Clyde probably is ADD. I mean, I would guarantee you that he is. Because Clyde, this is the definitive story from living with Clyde. And I know some other people who've been roommates with Clyde, and they all have a story like this, where I came home one day, and this was before I'd started like grinding my own coffee beans and whatever, and this is, you know, so I would just go to the store and I would buy like a big can of coffee or whatever. This is before I'd sort of, you know, Portland had sort of seeped into my veins and I'd begin getting good coffee. I had this huge, like 3 pound can of, you know, whatever it is, Folgers or Maxwell House, whatever it is we were drinking at that time. And I came home, and the 3 pound can of coffee has just been dumped onto the floor. I mean, it's just on the floor. 3 pounds of ground coffee. I'm like ankle deep in brown dust when I walk into the kitchen. And there's no one home. There's no one home. There's no one there. It's not the sort of thing that like a mouse is going to bump off the counter by accident. It's 3 pounds of coffee all over the kitchen floor. And there's no one there. And Clyde and I at that time were going to work. And then it was like on a Saturday. But we were going to work at different times anyway. So I would leave the house. And when I left the house, Laura would, you know, she'd leave around the same time. And Clyde was the last one to leave the house in the morning. So there's like no question about who did it. So I come home. There's 3 pounds of coffee all over the kitchen. And there's just no explanation for it. Clyde gets home a little later, and I said, hey, what's with this 3 pounds of coffee that's been spilled in the kitchen? And he said, oh, yeah, I spilled that this morning. And I said, well, why would you not clean that up? Why would you? Yeah, I spilled that while I was making coffee this morning, and then I had to blow my nose, and then I just forgot about it, and then I had to go catch the bus. How would you, I mean, only in Clyde's head would that ever happen, where you spill 3 pounds, and then you're distracted literally by something that is not too far removed from a bright, shiny object. You were distracted by blowing his nose, and then the way our apartment was laid out, he had to walk through the 3 pounds of coffee on the kitchen floor, like, to get to the bus. To get to the front door to go catch the bus, he had to walk through the 3 pounds of coffee that had been spilled on the floor. He would walk through, he had to walk through it on his way out of the house. That's Clyde right there. I mean, I love him. He's talented. He's just not somebody that you should live with. That's my, I mean, not that I'm any better on that score, by the way. I'm simply
asking,
saying,
your living quarters.
Oh, no. I'm no better. I'm no better. But, ma'am, oh, and snore. You don't know from snoring until you don't know what snoring is. What does that guy say to someone? You don't know what pain is. You don't know what snoring is until you've lived with Clyde. snoring, I swear to God, I'd be behind two different doors and I could hear Clyde snoring.
Oh, man.
It's snoring.
Well, hopefully he's not looking for a roommate right now, Rick.
He's not looking for a roommate. Clyde and I went to Vegas together one time. I went to Vegas with Clyde and I shared a hotel room with him. And no lie, I went and slept in the bathtub. I went and I took all the covers off my bed. I lined the bathtub with covers off my bed and then I slept in the goddamned bathtub. And the only reason I slept in the bathtub is because they wouldn't let me, like, go down and sleep in a chair in the lobby, or I would have done that. And then, of course, you get up in the middle of the night to go to the kitchen or go to wherever, and Clyde is sleeping on a mattress in the middle of your house with one sock on and one sock off, which is always the way that he would sleep, and then just a whole lot of foot funk. You know what I mean? All right. Were we talking about something?
Planes, trains, and automobiles.
That is exactly what it is. Yes. Clyde and I together is Neil Page and Del Griffith. That's exactly what it is. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, it's time to make more guitars for girls. A Los Angeles guitar retailer says he is making colorful and smaller sized guitars for girls and women. It's gained popularity nationwide over the past several years, signaling a growing trend within the traditionally male-dominated guitar industry. The country's top guitar retailers, Gibson Guitar and Fender Musical Instruments, have debuted line items for girls and women over the past few years. Gibson has a thinner neck, lighter weight, Les Paul Dixon, and Les Brown Gonis guitar. Fender has Hello Kitty guitars, and one has a cat splashed across its body.
This is a stupid idea. This is a stupid idea that I hold in the deepest contempt you could possibly imagine. It's 503-733... I just hit the microphone and turned it completely around. It's 503-733-2970. We don't have to do the top five here. What I am going to do is this. Hold on, let me see if I can pull this audio up here. What I'll do is, where the hell is my wave file? All right. We'll do this. I got a few stories to read here. Top of the hour, we'll have Tim Riley return. We'll talk to Peter Carlin. Next hour, we'll do the top five Alice Cooper songs never played on the radio. But first, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for another exciting installment of Rick Emerson's News That Hurts. This is from Atlanta. Two Atlanta men survived an attempt to kill themselves on Friday by cutting off their arms with a circular saw, according to Atlanta Police Major Lane Hagan. The men managed to sever three of their four arms about 6 inches above the wrist, he said. The two men, age 40 and 41, left a suicide note with the manager of their HIV apartment building saying they were committing suicide because their businesses had failed. After reading the note, the manager called police, who found the two men in their apartment, quote, with a lot of blood, he said. Their names were not released. A circular saw. But here they got three of the four arms because how do you pick up the saw to do the final arm?
That's a
no, really.
That's true.
Mike, you got to find a table saw for these kinds of things.
6 inches above. Oh.
That would. I'm surprised that they're not dead, though. How would you not be dead after that? That's a lot of blood loss all year. I mean, that really goes beyond cutting your wrists. I mean, that's where you cut your wrists and you just keep on cutting. All right. Well, there you go. Well, I guess you got to think these things through in advance next time. A Perth teenager with a screwdriver embedded in his face drove home to call an ambulance after he and a friend were attacked by a, their words now, tool-wielding maniac. Police said the pair, both 18, were in a vehicle in a car park at Spearwood around 5:30 p.m. yesterday when they saw a man chasing a teenage boy. The man fell in front of their vehicle and then tried to open the car door on the passenger side, but the teenager in the passenger seat held the door shut. The man then pulled out a screwdriver and then thrust it through the open window, stabbing the passenger in the face, embedding the screwdriver through one of his cheekbones. The attacker then went to the other side of the car and stabbed the driver just below the eye, causing a puncture wound through the front of his face. The driver started the car and drove to his Spearwood home. Why would you not go to a hospital? Drove to his Spearwood home with the screwdriver embedded in his face. Dateline Shreveport. A city employee died after falling into an open wastewater container at a treatment plant last Monday. The man, whose name was not available at press time, was standing atop the 15-foot-deep open-top container and preparing to clear foam from the sewage collecting plant with a high-pressure hose. He was working with another employee who went to turn on the hose. When the employee returned, the man was no longer atop the container. Firefighters used poles to pull the man out of the sewage and sludge container. They said he had no pulse. A man accused of having unnatural relations with the carcass of a deer he found laying beside the road is being defended by his lawyer, who denies that he committed bestiality on the grounds that a dead deer is no longer an animal. Public defender, how'd you like to get this job? Public defender Frederick Anderson filed a motion last week which claimed, and I'm quoting now, the statute does not prohibit one from having sex with a carcass, only a live animal. He gave the example of, this is from a news article, by the way. He gave the example of a roast turkey, claiming that, quote, you wouldn't call it bestiality to have sex with a roast turkey, would you? Page 5.
Does it ever end?
No. Three men attempted to kidnap a teenager in a dispute over stereo speakers shortly before 4:45 p.m. last Monday, Wichita police reported. One of the three pulled out a gun and fired at the teen in the 1,000 block of South Wichita. The shot missed the teen, but the shooter then jammed the gun into the waistband of his pants, and it went off, quote, removing a testicle completely and mangling his penis. Page 6. A 50-year-old man is recovering in Winnipeg's Health Sciences Center from injuries he suffered when he walked into a small aircraft's rotating propeller blades yesterday in the hamlet of Kleefeld. The propeller is driven by an engine in the plane's nose. Propellers in general spin at high speeds and can sever limbs and cause fatal injuries to a person who comes in contact with the rotating blades. He apparently... Page 6. Oh, I'm sorry. Page 7. Cynthia Baylor was planning to have dinner at Mount Cinder's Grill Sunday evening. That is until a car came through the restaurant's southeast window. This is from Wisconsin. It all happened so fast, Baylor said as she ran to her car. The car came in slow motion. Police said a cream-colored Mercury four-door car crashed into the restaurant. Three people were injured, said Oshkosh Fire Department Chief Jeff Johnson. One person was seriously injured. Oshkosh Police Sergeant Matt Craning said one woman was impaled by a stool. The stool injury was not life-threatening. The stool miraculously missed all vital organs. And finally today, same line, Hermiston, Oregon. A small spider bite turned out to be a big problem for Cindy Petty. Petty awoke when she was bitten on the stomach in the middle of the night a few weeks ago, but thought little else of it. Then she started running a fever. She felt achy and weak. The bite sore became larger and inflamed. Next thing Petty knew, a doctor was telling her he believed she'd been bitten by the dangerous hobo spider. Petty had surgery that removed 14 pounds of skin, leaving her abdomen in stitches. I look like I was bitten in half by a shark, Petty said. Hobo spider venom may cause necrosis or death of the skin. When a spider injects venom below the skin, it reddens, swells, and turns black. Petty isn't taking any more chances. She also discovered, quote, dozens of spiders inside her shoes. There you go, kids. News that hurts. Back after this with Tim Riley and Peter Carlin on The Rick Emerson Show.